Welcome to the fourth installment of the Offbeat Podcast. You might have heard that Preservation Hall, the iconic New Orleans concert venue, marked its 50th birthday last June, 1961 through 2011. Well, that may have been over a year ago, but this month they're putting out two celebratory records. The first is called St. Peter and 57th Street, a live record from Carnegie Hall back in January, featuring an array of guests, including the Del McCurry Band, My Morning Jacket, and Trombone Shorty. The second is a little heftier. The Preservation Hall 50th Anniversary Collection is a four-disc set that assembles recordings by just about every incarnation of the band over the last 50 years. Cuts from 20 different albums made it onto the collection, along with five previously unreleased recordings. I got a chance to sit down with Ben Jaffe, Preservation Hall's creative director and tuba player. We chatted about the new records, about his childhood memories of early Hall recording sessions, and about Preservation Hall West, an expansion of the venue soon to open in San Francisco. But we started out with St. Peter and 57th Street.
It was a concert I started conceptualizing a couple years ago as a way to celebrate our 50th anniversary. And I wanted it to be a celebration of all of the, not just our history, but all of these friendships and collaborations that we've been involved in since Hurricane Katrina. And it was an amazing concert, you know? You never know when you get that many people on stage together what's going to happen.
In terms of the number and range of people that are on stage with the band, is there anything quite like that concert in the history of the Hall?
No, I can't think of anything. I mean, the only time that I've even participated in anything that was, you know, had that wide of a spectrum of artists was when we played at Madison Square Garden for Pete Seeger's 90th birthday.
Yasin Bey, formerly Mos Def, joins the band on stage at one point to reprise the song they put out back in 2010, a cover of It Ain't My Fault, reinterpreted as an oil spill screed.
Yes. In New Orleans, in typical New Orleans fashion, you know, it was one of those songs that the idea happened over coffee in the morning. A phone call later, you know, we're meeting at Crescent Steakhouse and talking about, hey, you know, we need to do something, you know, let's do it now. And by that time, Yasin had already had the song in his head and had already started to script out lyrics. And that night, yeah, it was right here. We recorded it like once or twice, you know, and had it out, you know, within a couple of days.
The 50th anniversary collection samples pretty much every record made by the Hall band in the last 50 years.
Yeah, we tried to take something from all of our projects, starting all the way back in 1961. You know, I went back and dug through all of my dad's old master tapes and, you know, found some things that that I didn't even know existed. We put on this record five unreleased tracks that the band had recorded.
Those were from the 70s and 80s, and they were recorded at Alan Toussaint Studios, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, the band started recording at Toussaint in, like, I think in 76 or 77.
The first one of the records on here that was recorded during your lifetime, if I'm correct, is the 1976 New Orleans Volume 1.
Mm-hmm.
What's the first one that you can recall actually being aware of the proceedings that were going on?
I remember that session.
Oh, you do?
Yeah, totally. Totally.
You were what, five?
I was five, yeah. Well, my memory goes back to about like when I was three. Mm-hmm. I start having memories of my life at three. And I remember being at every one of the mm-hmm. sessions. But I remember the excitement of going to the studio for the first time and my parents' excitement. But I remember the tape machines and the technology and just being fascinated by all of the equipment and the microphones and the cables, and probably making it more difficult than my father, you know, who's trying to produce, you know, a session. And, you know, must have been nerve-wracking for him, mm-hmm. too, since it was really the first session that he was producing for Sony, mm-hmm. you know, and it was really his first outing as executive producer and producer. So he had a lot on the line.
Any particular memories of the musicians that stick out from that session?
I mean, the person that I was probably closest with in the band was probably Sing Miller, the pianist. He and I had a special connection, and he was somebody that I found myself around a lot, which is, you know, just interesting because he didn't speak a lot. A lot of people say that he was like difficult to understand because of his strong accent. But he and I just, you know, we palled around. I was just kind of like his little running partner.
Yeah.
You know, go grab my cigarettes, or he likes 7-Up, you know, so that was like my thing, is always make sure that he had a 7-Up with ice.
So you were the intern, basically.
Yeah, I was interning at 5 years old, yeah. At that age, man, you're soaking up so much. You're a sponge, and you're taking in all of these things and personalities and people around mm-hmm. you. You don't know what's going on, you know, you just... a kid, you know, you're running around and you're in a recording studio and there's all this cool equipment and there's mm-hmm. stacks of records, and you know, it was a big deal because it was, you know, C-Sane, and I mean, Alan Toussaint was in my mind, he was a rock star. You got to see him at Jazz Fest, and he was someone who was like larger than life, and someone that you know, just getting the chance to like go to his studio and, you know, having him sort of show up just to say hi to everybody and just kind of wave and shake everyone's hand was a big, big deal to me as a, you know, as a kid growing up. It was, those were like life-changing experiences, those first four sessions.
Preservation Hall West is yes. opening up yes. in not too long. I think that's a project that surprises a lot of people to hear about, that Preservation Hall is opening up a venue in San Francisco.
It surprises me too. you know, every morning I wake up and I can't believe that it's happening. We have been presented with opportunities in the past to franchise Preservation Hall. And to me, that's one of the worst words you can use to describe or sell me mm-hmm. on an idea. You know, as soon as I hear the word franchise or brand, I just shut down. Mm-hmm. And that was what, you know, people had presented us with, this idea, oh, you've got a great brand and, you know, we can franchise and we can put them in every, you know, Disneyland in the world, you know. And you're like, wow, okay. You know, we can recreate it, you know, brick by brick. I'm thinking exactly the opposite. You know, I go, you can't recreate this. You know, that would be creating something fake
yeah.
and unreal.
What changed your mind?
The venue itself has a lot to do with it. And if I had gone out there and the room wasn't right and the neighborhood wasn't right or the partners weren't right, you know, we wouldn't be doing this, you know. I mean, this is a huge crapshoot for us in terms of you know, a pure business decision. So when the opportunity presented itself, and I visited San Francisco and went to met with our partners out there and walked into the building that they had in mind, it was a life-changing experience, because it probably felt very similar to what my parents were walking into when they came here. You know, they felt the presence of something great. And when I walked into this building and met with the people, and they had the right ideas about what it was, what, you know, artistically I wanted to create out there, and they wanted to support that, and the neighborhood where it's going, the Mission District, it's going into an old chapel that has been empty for years, it all felt like perfectly natural, you know. I mean, of course, Preservation Hall West should be in a church. You know, that's, you know, people always refer to Preservation Hall New Orleans as a church.
It's funny to think of all these things coming out of this place. It's such an unassuming little room that we're in here.
Yeah, that's, it's the biggest little room in the world, you know. It's amazing, man. Well, I mean, you know what? New Orleans isn't that big of a city either, mm-hmm. you know. And just think about, like, all the stuff that New Orleans has given mm-hmm. the world. I get to see it firsthand because of all the traveling we do. Everybody has some sort of story about New Orleans, you know. You could go anywhere in the world and you tell them you're from New Orleans and they get this look of amazement on their face. People come here all the time and they walk in and they come in the room here and they look around and they go, well, where's the hall? And you're like, well, this is it. They're like, what? This is it? Yeah, this is it. You know, go sit on the floor. And, you know, where's the bathroom? Oh, you have to go, you know, you have to go next door. Or, you know, whatever it is, you know, it's like, well, okay.
Well, Ben Jaffe, thank you very much for talking with me.
Absolutely.
The new records are slated for release on September 25th. and Preservation Hall West will be beginning shows early next month. For those wondering what the hall might be up to next, well, when we talked, Ben dropped a hint.
We're planning a trip to the moon next. You know, we've pretty much done everything we can do here on Earth.
See you next week.